I always wanted to have a deeper understanding on one subject, and that subject is the heart. Not as a cardiologist or a psychologist, but as a preacher and teacher, and as a believer in Christ. It seems to me that everything in life, both good and bad, or eternal or temporal, flows from the heart, such as peace, love, joy, greed, or even hatred. Heart indeed matters in every relationship with God and with our neighbors. So this is how I see the whole thing. The better understanding of the heart will lead us to the better care of it, and the better care of the heart will bring forth the better relationships with God and with each other. So this morning, I invite you once again to pay close attention to my message on this subject of heart. Let me begin with what I mean by the heart. There are at least two definitions of the heart. The first one is medical and the second one is scriptural. Medical definition is, heart is a hollow muscular organ that pumps the blood through the circulatory system by rhythmic contraction and dilation. We'll know that. The scriptural definition of the heart is this, the innermost seat of emotion, mind, will, conscience, and appetites. Now, I looked up in the concordance for the NASB, New American Standard Bible, and it lists over 800 times under the title heart in the entire Bible. And there is only one occasion that indeed the heart refers to the organ that pumps out the blood. The rest, 99.9% of the time, all referring to the definition, as I said, heart as the innermost seat of emotion, thoughts, will, and appetites. By the way, our Western mindset is accustomed to the separation of heart and mind, or heart and head. We are so accustomed to that, you know, the separation. But the scriptures do not make such a clear distinction between emotion and intellect. As a matter of fact, the ancient Hebrews believed that all the characteristics of modern-day quote-unquote heart and mind are intermingled and interconnected and originated from one entity, not two. And that entity is the heart. So when I say this morning the heart, it covers the mind, will, intellect, emotion, affection, and desire and longing. Okay? I hope you keep that in your mind. And this is what I've discovered from the study of the Bible. The Bible identifies three kinds of heart. You can find them all in your Bible. The first one is the heart of God. The second one is heart of man. And the third one is heart of beasts or animals. Let me talk a little bit about the heart of God. I'm so thankful and grateful that God too has the heart. Out of his heart, God created the heavens and the earth, referring to his intellect. Out of his heart, he has chosen us to be his children, referring to his willpower. And out of his heart, God loves us unconditionally, referring to his emotional part. When we keep God's commandments, God's heart rejoices. When we sin against him, he is grieved in his heart, the scripture says. To God, each soul is equally valuable, sinners and saints alike. For example, if you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Christ says this, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He never gives up on anyone unless they reject him first. In fact, God's loving kindness and generosity and mercy, the scripture says, endure forever and never ending. They blow us away. All out of it is God's loving heart. Isn't our God awesome and wonderful? Amen? He is indeed awesome God. What about the heart of man? When God created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness, which we love to quote, God has given them the heart that share the characteristics of God's heart, such as pure, innocent, loving, kind, and creative, and no sign of or touch of evil at all. That was the original heart. However, when they, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, sin came in and everything changed. In fact, sin corrupted the human heart to the core and forever. That's why we call the original sin. And we call this heart condition human depravity. For instance, during the time of Noah, we love the Noah's Ark story, right? Animals and so forth. But during that time of Noah, God was so grieved with the constant evil thoughts of human heart. I just quoted what the scripture says. The constant evil thoughts of human heart that God regretted he had created humans. You will see it seldom God says, I regret. But this is one time he said, I regret that I had created human beings. So God wanted a new start. So through the great flood, God wiped entire humanity off from the surface of the earth, except 8 people, Noah's family. But Noah's family still had the old heart, still depraved as before. Now, many years later, speaking to prophet Jeremiah, God described the condition of the heart as follows. It is listed in your bulletin. The heart of man is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? This is God saying. Now, almost 3,000 years later, since the prophet Jeremiah, we are living in the 21st century, it doesn't look like our heart got any better. I looked up my own heart as I was preparing the sermon, and I thought, I must agree with God. Our heart still is more deceitful than all other things and desperately sick. Wouldn't you agree? That's heart of man. What about the heart of beasts? The reference on the heart of beasts is also found in the Bible, only once though. And the heart of the beast demonstrates basically animal instinct. No reason, no ability to create, no conscience or no reverence for life. It only cares about daily survival. Question is, can a person possess such a heart of beast? It appears so, because the Bible shows one man who had it for 7 years. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4 and 5. He was driven away, the scripture says, from mankind, and his heart was made like that of beasts. And his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys, and he was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven. And then he was restored when he recognized that there is a Most High God, the ruler over the realm of mankind. So that's the only reference I found as far as the heart of beast. But once again, my focus this morning is on the human heart. So for the rest of my sermon, I'm going to spend on what's happening in our heart and how do we take good care of our heart. Please understand this. Your heart is a battleground. Battleground. Very few of us actually went into the battleground and, you know, shoot each other and so forth. But that's a spiritual battleground is your heart, where God and the enemy of God both vie for your worship and devotion and affection in your heart. God is the author and the creator of your heart, but there is a devil who tries to usurp the throne in your heart from God. Please also remember that your heart is like an open bowl. There's no lid to cover, to which there are three parties have access. Yourself, God, and the devil. And all of them can prompt thoughts into your heart. So let's think about each party a little bit more, beginning with self. What each party can do to your heart, beginning with you. You can initiate, you can retain, you can remove any thoughts, any feelings, or any intentions in your heart, either good or bad. Here are some examples what we can do and we do with our own hearts. Number one, we can humble ourselves and incline our hearts to God, meaning that bring our hearts closer to God. It's your choice. Number two, we can also watch over our hearts with all diligence or not. Why do we have to watch over our hearts? Because the Bible says, from your heart flow the springs of life. Do you really care about your life? Not only this physical life, but also life eternal. And guess what? What do you need to do first? Take good care of your heart. Now here's an example. If we do not guard our hearts, then our hearts will be neglected. And it will eventually defile us in the sight of God. I'm just quoting what Christ says. Defile us in the sight of God. See what happens when you do not take good care of your heart. When your heart is neglected. When your heart is not properly cared after. When your heart is not protected from the attacks from the devil, the enemy. Listen to Jesus. This is what he said in Mark chapter 7. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deed of coveting and wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things, he says, proceed from within and defile the man. Didn't I say that it defiles us in the sight of God? You know, I cannot take shower for 7 days. And you may say, oh, Pastor Choi stinks. That doesn't defile me in the sight of God. It may, you know, I may, you know, smell bad. But what really defiles us, Christ says, whatever in your heart proceed, coming out and defile you and me. Sadly, this is the case because many Christians do not take good care of their hearts. They stay in this sad, sorry state. Defilement in the sight of God. So remember, you have the job, your responsibility to take good care of your heart. No one else does but you. Number two, who has access to our heart? The devil, of course. Too many a Christian have a very naive understanding of the devil. Some believe that he's not real. Others think that he's just the personification of evil. Now before you heard it, someone saying it, and you said, I like that, I agree with you. But before you go on to that stage, be sure to read the Word of God, which is the Scripture. Does Scripture agree that devil is not real? The Scripture says that he's just a personification of evil. No, exactly opposite the Scripture said, devil is not only real, but also as a person. More others consider the devil as the guy holding a pitchfork with two horns on his head and a tail, or a cute little guy sitting on our shoulder whispering to us this and that. No, folks, devil is much more a cunning creature than those images. He's not scary looking either. He disguised himself as the angel of light. Everyone would say, whoa. Yes, he is a very cunning creature. He is the enemy and the accuser of our soul. He is a deceiver. Did you know that he has only one goal? He doesn't care. But one thing. John 10:10, Jesus says his one goal is to steal, to kill and destroy your soul into hell. To achieve his goals, the devil never stops working. First and foremost, where? On your heart. He enslaves your heart through temptation and worries and lust and fear and deception, pride and confusion, folks. He snatches away anything good or anything godly from your heart. Especially God's word sown in your heart. Folks, we experimented this before. I asked you, how many times, check yourself, your mind distress goes off to someplace else during the sermon? Everyone experiences that. But it doesn't happen when you watch your favorite TV show. Why is it? Is it just coincidental? Everyone is... No, because Satan knows. He wants to make sure that you don't get anything, God's word, sown in your heart. So he distracts your thoughts, and when you're thinking of Shavuot during the sermon, all the word sown in your heart, he takes them away, devours and takes them away from you. So by the time the service is over, you go home, you don't have anything to carry on. That's what's happening. So once he does achieve his goal of taking away God's word from your heart, then he fills up with your heart with what? Evil, unclean, negative, and destructive thoughts. That you often, listen carefully, you often mistake those thoughts as your own thoughts and blame yourself. Listen very carefully. I'm telling you very, very important principles of your life. Okay? Now here's an example. Judas Iscariot. Anyone knows who that is? Judas Iscariot. Who's that guy? The guy who betrayed Jesus, his master, right? Now, this is what happened. After he sold his master for 30 silver coins, and the Bible says he felt remorse. What did I do to my master? He felt so sorry what he had done, so he returned the money to the sanctuary. Okay? And then, guess what he did? He went out and he killed himself. He hanged himself. We said, oh, yeah, he deserves it. Oh yes, that's all right, one thing. But if you think of what exactly happened in Judas' heart, and later on that led him to the, you know, killing himself, listen very carefully. It all began with Judas. Thought that it was his thought, terrible idea he had, he came up with. That's why he felt remorse. But if you read John chapter 13 verse 2, it is not himself who came up with the idea of betrayal, but it was the devil. The devil, what he did is that threw, literal translation is that threw the thought of betrayal into the Judas heart and landed there, and Judas took it as his. Oh, I'm going to, you know, sell my master for money. And so that's why he killed himself. The whole idea is sometimes, if not many times, we mistake devil's thoughts sown into our hearts as ours and later on blame ourselves. Okay, so you need to be very careful on that. Beware of the devil. The third party who also has access to our heart is, of course, God, who is the architect of our heart. Therefore, he is the expert in the human heart business. He is most interested in your heart and mind. If you ask, Lord, what's your business in my life? And God says, your heart is my business. In fact, God cares about our heart more than any one of us ever would. How much does he know about heart? Everything, inside and out, and through. Remember, God is the designer and the creator of the heart. He is the divine heart surgeon too. He can make our sick hearts healthy again. So there is no one who could say that I'm hopeless. No one can save me. No, God could still do it. Okay? In fact, did you know that the Bible lists 32 things? I counted how many things God can do with our heart, and he does. Just to name a few, God searches our heart. He weighs our hearts and examines and tests and strengthens and revives and renews and changes and sets the heart free, to name a few. There's one thing, however, God will never do to our hearts. You know what that is? Control. He leaves the full reign of the heart to you and me, to to the point where we can abuse such freedom to even curse the Creator. But God would not stop us. Because once He starts controlling our hearts, then what? It is no longer a demonstration of love. You see, love is a very powerful thing. If someone tells you, I love you, but the person controlled you, it is not really love at all. Here's the good news, folks. God wants you and me to lead a triumphant and fruitful life by removing all the negative, evil, unclean, and destructive thoughts from our hearts. He also wants us to fill our hearts with good and godly and honorable thoughts. He can help us purify and strengthen our hearts as well. Now, all of these would He do only upon our invitation and requests. Without our desire to keep our hearts pure and clean, and without our invitation, God would not do it. Now, once you and I ask for His help from the heart, saying, Lord, do something on my heart, then He will start cleansing our hearts with His word, the truth. And that's why, folks, I cannot overemphasize the importance of getting into the Word of God. You know, long after I'm gone, I hope you remember Pastor Choi's legacy. He was a short guy, smart, handsome. No. I want you to remember as the pastor who every single ounce of his being cries out, getting into the Word of God. I hope that would be my legacy. As for closing, I will say this. You and I have a job to do, work to do, lifelong, okay? What is the job to do? Take good care of our heart. Because our life, temporal and eternal, depends on it. So where do we start? Getting into the Word of God. Getting into the Bible, folks. Okay? If you have not done it, you are doing the greatest disservice to yourself. Okay? What do? When you get into the Word of God, you fill your heart with truth. Okay? And with the stored up truth of the Word of God, you screen out every thought that enters your heart. Okay? And choose what is good and right in the sight of God and reject what is evil. And you repeat the same process. Getting into the Word of God and choose and reject. Choose, reject. And you repeat the same thing and you will do quite well. Okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. When the devil tempted Jesus, turn all these stones into bread to satisfy your hunger, Christ says, man cannot live by bread alone, but every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's the truth, Lord. You created in us the heart that's longing for you and for your word. Fill us, Lord, with our spiritual food, which is the Word of God, and then help us to take good care of our heart with the help of the Word of God, the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.